You've tuned into Misbehaving, a podcast where we get up close and personal with today's most imaginative authors. Every episode, we'll be sitting down with a new writer to discuss their magical worlds, futuristic visions, and how they bring their wildest ideas to the page. Sitting in for my most esteemed partner again today is the wonderful Jen Nixon. Jen, you are the Ringo to my whatever monkeys player you want to say there. How'd I do? I mixed that up enough?
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was my Gandalf says the Force will be with
That's
you.
That's the one.
Part
yeah,
out.
Here we go. Peace out, Harry. Yeah.
How was your week?
It was nice. It was hot. It's hot here again. We're supposed to get a cold front this week, but miserably hot. So I was outside yesterday at my son's soccer game with all the parents under my pop-up because I was the only one with a pop-up, and I welcomed them. Please come sit in the shade because it was like almost 100 degrees. So
wow. Yeah.
Well, that was my week.
It's 51 here right now. So I'm sure you're
I bet it's raining.
Jealous.
Is it raining?
No, it's not raining.
All right, fine. You're off the hook.
So who do we have on the podcast this week?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. We have friend of the podcast, Shannon Reber. Shannon is a writer, an artist, and the owner of my favorite bookshop in Western New York, Genres. She lives with her husband and three cats who are secretly shapeshifters that report to the Fey Monarch. As an albino who is legally blind, she has faced much adversity. She began listening to audiobooks at a young age as an escape from the reality that was trying at times. These fantastical stories became her obsession and eventually her passion. Now, many of her tales have been made into audiobooks. They carry themes of acceptance and disability, and her stories have become accessible to anyone also facing hardships. Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon Reber. How are you doing today, Shannon?
Welcome.
I am part of that cold front.
I
got your cold weather. Yes.
Black vengeance on all of you. I'm writing all this down.
Revenge is sweet.
It really is.
How else was your week, Shannon?
Well, it was totally a week.
Yeah. I hear that.
I got some bookshelves donated to my bookshop. Nice. So I'm extremely sore from setting those up and wishing that I had stopped and waited for help, but I just did it myself. So I deserve all of my pain.
Tell us more about your bookshop. I love your bookshop. I talked to you years ago and got in on not really the ground floor, but got in on the bookshop.
Pretty much.
And,
you were pretty much.
Oh, was I?
Floor,
oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah,
lovely.
Pretty much, yeah.
I was so excited. I'm like, how do I get in? Yeah. So tell us more. How did you get started? I mean, you're kind of living the writer's dream, but your bookshop has a unique flavor to it.
I hope it's unique. We actually started out as a pop-up shop. Mm-hmm. We were planning on just being open from October until Christmas. And then we were looking for space, and I wasn't able to find anything. So I got a message from the woman at the YWCA, the CEO of the YWCA, and she's like, you know, we have space and we would really be happy to help you with this. So she talked me into coming to look at it, and basically having the room at the YWCA, they have been the best landlords in the history of the world, and they are like, well, they're my heroes. So I absolutely love being there. And they asked us to stay. That's the only reason why we're still in business.
Oh, I love
that's
it.
Awesome.
But you do something unique with the authors who are featured in your bookstore.
Well, I hope it is. Again, I'm really hoping it is. Well, the way that I started running it was that I was just doing consignment. Mm-hmm. So that is what you're talking about, isn't it, Rob?
And some of the, you know, you ask authors to come in and do stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I try to do those things.
Yeah, you try to do that.
It is surprisingly difficult to get people to participate in mm-hmm. those things.
do you think that's just like authors, like the authors in your store are kind of like all of us, like indie authors. And so like authoring is our side hustle. And we're like, oh my gosh, I can't do one more thing. Or do you think it's because a lot of the authors are secretly, or maybe not secretly, introverts and are like, I can't handle being probably.
Well, actually, I have a few who are traditionally published, mm-hmm. and they are actually more difficult to pin down than my indies are.
Oh,
they can much more difficult to pin down. Yeah. But I'm getting good at my wrestling moves, so I'm going to get them in there.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your writing process. Do you do anything special, like listen to music?
Okay, so see, my husband is, he can't be in the house unless the TV is on. And so basically the only time I turn on music is when my husband is home because it blocks out what's on the TV. So usually I don't turn on music. But again, being at the shop, I do now because, you know, I always have music on in the shop. So I've gotten mm-hmm. used to sitting at my table and writing and listening to music. But my process is basically obsessing big time. And that's actually the main reason why I have a lot of unfinished series.
Obsess over characters or over story?
Well, I obsess until I start hating the story, and I obsess about everything. Location, names, I have this terrible habit of changing names like 57 times before I actually publish. And then I will publish and I'll be like, oh, I should have changed the name to that. Oh, why didn't I change that? Oh,
I won't even start writing until I have their names. Literally. Well, they will not. I will not write one word unless I have their names. and only once if I change names, because I use it in a book before, but I didn't publish it, so that was
you're not willing to go with like a name that you'll later do a find and replace all. You'll nope. You've got to have them. That's funny.
Yep.
And then Shannon's
see,
like,
I do that so many times, but then I'll find that the one that I'm working on now, there was what I've been doing recently is rewriting old books that I wrote when I didn't know how to write. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking these stories and basically editing them and changing them into the fantasy stories that I now write. Mm-hmm. So I had this character named Rick, and I decided I didn't want his name to be Rick anymore. So I changed his name to something else. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that there are other words that have Rick in them.
Oh. Yeah.
So Trick is now T. Dante. it's been driving me absolutely crazy.
That's a lot of find and replace.
Well, I do replace all, which is where that comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm about to change somebody else's name. Just FYI. Yeah.
Yeah. Just right now as we speak.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You said when you didn't know how to write, talk about like, when did you realize you didn't like, when did you realize you had matured beat past that? And then you had to go back.
Well, when I first started writing, I was writing the way I learned to write in high school. Mm-hmm. So double space between paragraphs, mm-hmm. Double space after, I'm sorry, yeah, double enter after paragraphs, mm-hmm. Double space between sentences.
For life. Well,
let's see. Oh, yeah.
I still do it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't break myself of that. Yeah.
Well, I figured out that was not the way you're supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that was one change I had to make. And then I was doing those little things, but I didn't realize at first that the punctuation inside the punctuation is not exactly supposed to be inside the quotation marks. And then I always had a capital for he said, she said.
Okay, and, on dialogue, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot of little things like that, which you can't change with find and replace. Mm-hmm. So it really is line by line editing.
Yeah.
But with the one that I'm working on now, it was a stalker story. And I decided that the character, the stalker, needed to be a supernatural creature. And it's not that hard to change those smaller elements. And so what I did was, like, I decided to put use second person, which I read the book You. I don't remember the author's name. And that one creeped me right out. It's the you know, do you know this story?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, they turned it into a Netflix series.
Oh, I do know it then. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, it is a stalker story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is why I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The way that the book is written is he's talking to her.
Mm.
You are my obsession, kind of thing.
Right.
And I really, like, it totally creeped me out, and I hated every character, but I read it and it still stuck with me. And it's been like 5 years since I read the book.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to do that with, like, you know, two paragraph chapters, just super short chapters, just in his head, him talking to her. And then you figure out, like, she's seeing odd things. That she can't really explain, but then you realize in, like, chapter 10, I think, that he's actually not human.
Spoiler.
Well, I've been talking about my supernatural stuff.
Everybody knows
you
read Supernatural, right? So they should kind of clue in that there's, if Supernatural hadn't shown up by chapter 10, you're already dealing with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's nice. What's the name of that? What's the name of that book?
That one is called Mine.
Okay.
I was really excited.
Cool. That's
but
fun.
I like to use different mythologies. Mm-hmm. So I found in there was a death omen, and I believe it's Spanish mythology. It might be Puerto Rican. I can't remember right now. Mm-hmm. But a black butterfly is a symbol of death.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I wanted to play with that. So I have on the front cover of my book, I have a black butterfly in front of a, you know, the red curtain for a theater. So I was so excited. I was absolutely ecstatic about that cover.
Cool. No, I think I've seen that cover too.
Oh, you have? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I think so. Yeah. When you said the black butterfly, I was like, oh, I think I've seen that cover. So, yeah. I have not read your book, but I've read some of your books. You know, I've read some of your stuff. So,
exactly.
Yeah. But I don't think that one I might pass on too.
if you're really not stuck out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not that, like, you've got some really great stuff, and sometimes you touch on horror, but it's not really horror. It's more supernatural, which
right,
definitely
exactly.
My jam, but then you have some horror stuff that I'm like, I'm going to pass on that one. So that's me.
I've started to figure out that watching Supernatural totally messed with my mind, and I'm not afraid of really much of anything these days.
Oh, nice.
Supernatural just sort of it made me immune. I don't know if I want to watch The Exorcist again, but I was scared out of my mind
or
with The Exorcist.
The new, didn't they just remake it?
There's a new one coming out, like, this week, next week.
Oh, good
Jen,
grief.
You like horror, right?
No, I hate
no?
horror.
No? Oh, okay. Oh,
no!
Let's put it this way. I don't hate horror only because it doesn't scare me. I watched the original Nightmare on Elm Street when I was 10 years old, and I have never been scared of a movie since.
No. All right. And I've never seen that one, so yeah.
I watched the Friday the 13th movies when I was supposed to be babysitting. Like, I made the little girl, like, sit in the corner and play with her toys.
Oh, my gosh.
So you can tell I was a really good babysitter.
So she's on another podcast going, like, and she made me sit in the corner.
She's in therapy right now because of me.
This episode of Myth Behaving is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers. Scents ranging from fruits to floral to musks to weird French names, the Diva offers a wide selection for maximum olfactory goodness. Bath bombs are offered with and without prizes inside and made using water-soluble dyes for no messy residue. Entirely coincidentally in time for Halloween is the Final Girl Bath Bomb, scented with Grim Reaper oil, which, oddly, is floral and pungent. It is decorated with a plastic stabby-slashy toy and containing a button picturing an icon of 80s and 90s horror. Halloween-themed glass bottles and toy cauldrons of bubble bath are also on offer. Check all the creations out at www.bathbombdiva.com. And thanks again to Bath Bomb Diva for sponsoring the show.
So it seems like you do a lot of research. What's your favorite thing to research these days?
Usually it really depends on what I'm doing, but the ones that amuse me the most, which I'm fairly certain the FBI will be knocking on my door any day, is like best places to stab someone. I have literally looked this up and actually gotten answers.
Mm-hmm. It's surprising how much you're out there.
I swear. I'm a very nice person. I just like to research weird things and you know, PTSD.
Yeah, exactly.
Every writer has a history you shouldn't look at.
It's either poison or murder, dispose of a body, you know.
Or big thing like nuclear layout of a nuclear power plant. I've looked at
it.
And then I was like, oh, maybe I'm now on a watch list.
I think probably every author is.
Yeah. I'm sure in the FBI they've got a whole category of maybe this guy's a writer.
Or he says he's a writer.
Nice.
All of us authors are gonna band together and take over the world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's all a conspiracy. Now it's out. It's out there. Secretly, none of us are actually writers. We're part of a global cult.
Man, cults are really coming in a lot
today.
Coming
up a lot today. It's you know, Halloween, so or October, not Halloween, but October time. Almost. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of cult would you join, Shannon? Like, if you had your druthers?
If I had my druthers, it would have to be a cult that worshipped books. Mm. So all you have to do is sit there all day and read books.
That's a really chill
that's my cult. I know, right?
That's very
you don't have to drink the Kool-Aid, you just have to drink the coffee.
No, but they'd have wine, right? Because, you know.
You have
very
to,
nice,
yeah.
Something to sip on.
Mm-hmm. Or tea. Yes. How about
tea? Tea's
good, yeah. Well, you can have whiskey to drink. Add to your tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make it Irish or Scottish or whichever.
Nice. I think I like. It's Irish. I do too.
Jen, what kind of cult would you join?
I would probably join a sci-fi cult. It would have to be something to do with aliens or UFOs or, yeah, that would probably be me.
Oh, aren't you already?
So you're a Scientologist?
No, definitely not one of those. I worked for one of those. We don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
That's interesting. This story I want to hear.
So many stories.
Are they as creepy as they seem?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. They're always smiling. It's a lot of smiles.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Oh, Tom Cruise. A lot of smiling. Yeah. So.
Well, not my
ew. Same here. Same here. Awesome. Okay. So.
How about you, Rob? You have to answer too. What cult?
It's gonna be some kind of TV cult, right? I just want to watch more TV. Yeah. I just need access to more. Like I there's so many shows on Apple TV right now, and and I just cannot justify one more streaming service just so I can watch great sci-fi. Yeah,
you gotta cancel one to go on the other, and then. But I'm telling you, Silo was great.
Oh,
really
I read the books. I read the books, and and the books were wonderful. Yeah. So don't. Yeah, but.
If you read it, you know the ending, and
is
I was
it
like,
the same? Oh, okay,
I'm sure it is.
It's fantastic. It is so fantastic.
I was not and, expecting that.
The books were really good. That's Hugh Howey. If you don't know Silo, Hugh Howey.
I don't.
who how he's like the biggest independent author of all time, and he's just like the model. He was approached by so many different publishers, and he's like, no thanks, because he just makes more money the way he is. But I know he worked with a publisher to get his books international. They helped him with the rights, and so there was some give and take on that. So somebody got very lucky on that deal. But Hugh Howey's Silo series is fantastic. Oh, it's really good. So but yeah, I can't justify one more streaming service. So that's my that would be my cult, like all the streaming services, right? All access, Crunchyroll, all the Crunchyroll, and every like all the ones I'm like, oh, I really want to watch this one show, but I can't get streaming service for one more. So yeah.
I know that. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
But I have that opposite problem. I have that opposite problem. My husband canceled all of our streaming services. Other than he likes to watch British TV shows.
Ah.
So I can watch every British detective show that I could ever possibly want, which I don't.
Which is all of them. That's all.
Law and Order UK is really cool. I will give you that.
Which one?
Law and Order UK was pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Had a great cast. The cast was phenomenal.
My wife loved Endeavor, so we watched all of Endeavor.
I swear I've heard of it.
It's like 1960s, 70s British detective. British? They're all detectives. Holy cow. Do they have any other shows? They have Doctor Who, and then everything is a British detective show.
Exactly.
Holy cow.
Well, Joel really likes this one. I believe it's called Hinterlands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I think it's Wales, so I have no idea what's going on, but I will just sit there and zone out for the voices. I love the accents.
Mm-hmm.
And the Welsh accent is unique.
Yeah, it really is. It's awesome.
When you listen, you're like, oh, that's not really English, is it?
It's a wee bit different.
Just a smidge.
We watch Welcome to Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, and because that's set in Wales. That's a docuseries.
Nice.
I love it so much. Yeah. But they're very Welsh over there.
Yes.
I watched it was so long. Balls. It was the Doctor Who spinoff. The one with
Torchwood.
Yes, that's it. I could not think of it, but I watched that one. It takes place in Wales, and the thing that I noticed most was bad teeth.
English are notorious for that. So.
I feel bad for bringing that up, but that was the thing that I noticed.
not all of them, but
not all.
It does seem to come up, and you're like, oh, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Shannon, I gotta ask, so we're talking about accents, so do you ever try to write an accent into your work, and how do you go about that?
A lot of Google research. So when it comes to accents, it's all about I don't like, for a southern person, it's not always y'all, you don't not every southern person says y'all. Or you know, some northerners say it. But I've got a series that I need to finish is Irish. So looking up basically Irish sayings, and you know, it's mostly a different way of wording things.
Right. It's so, less making, at least for me, and maybe you're the same, but it's less about like writing the way they would say the words, and more about how they lay the words out in the sentence.
Yes, exactly. But there are several times that I have tried to like phonetically spell out a word. I'm like, no, I'm not even bothering. I've got my Through the Mist series. I am on book 14 of my 15 book series. I have got to finish it, but I need to finish mine first. I have to.
Right.
But this is all Irish. But then I've got a few. I've got Americans. I've got Irish. I've got every kind of accent in this book, and it really, it's it really is just a lot of research on figuring out how they put sentences together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Irish are fun, actually. Mm-hmm. But I've got Cullen. The guy's name is Cullen.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled Chullain.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. But I mean, I don't give any spelling or pronunciation guides. So if you want to figure that out, Google it.
Oh, you're mean. Oh,
I am. But for the final book, I am going to put a pronunciation guide in and have like a special edition when the whole mm-hmm. series is mm-hmm. done. Have a special edition that is, you know, it's got the pronunciations, it's got the information on the mythological creatures I've researched for this sucker. Mm-hmm. So right. I'm going to do it, but just not yet.
Wait a little longer.
Exactly. It'll be this year, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. And did you make up any creatures for your books, or were they all actually based on mythological creatures?
I try to stick with pre-known mythology, but I do sometimes tweak my mythology. Like Irish dragons mm-hmm. are basically worms.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I didn't want a worm. So the way I changed that was I had several different people in the creatures in the past getting together to make the winged dragon.
Mm.
So nice. You've got I can't remember which goddess it is because it's been a while since I worked on this. Mm-hmm. But one of the goddesses is a goddess of fire. She got together with a god of water. Mm-hmm. Somebody had wings. I don't remember who had wings, but mm-hmm. So this is how my winged fire breathing dragon came to be.
Nice. Are you okay? Like, do you try to really adhere to the mythology, or are you like,
I try.
If it bugs me, I'm going to change it.
Well, I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. I do sometimes change them, but the one that I'm working on now, I've got a kitsune. A kitsune is a seven-tailed, I believe, Chinese creature.
Fox, right? Isn't it a fox?
Yes.
Yeah.
But wait, I can't tell you that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't.
Oh, no spoilers there.
Kitsunes are awesome.
Kitsunes are awesome. Yes. But the way that I'm working around that is they also are shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm.
So this kitsune can appear like a normal creature and a person, creature, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're, no one's the wiser until mm-hmm. she reveals herself. Right. They reveal themselves. Edit out the she?
Wow. Do my best on that one, but I think you're stuck with that. Wow. You're killing yourself. Just let me know when we can actually release this podcast. That's where we're at this point.
No, it's all
right?
Good. It's all good.
What's the name of this book? Is this a that you're
that
working
one's
on?
Mine. That one,
oh,
that
the same one
is
okay,
the
it's mine.
Mine. Yep,
okay.
Yep. Yeah, the one you will never read.
Well, now you're getting me. Now kitsune. Like, oh, okay. Like, you're scratching uh-huh. my itches here. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, my stalker in this one, he's you're in his head, but mm-hmm. it's only for like probably five full pages in the book.
Okay. Oh, see, that's how you sell it to me. Like, I don't have to be good. In a stalker's head for the whole book.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. As soon as I started writing it, I was like, no, nope. Yeah. I think
that's something that people who are not writers don't understand about writers. Like, we have to get not just in a mindset, but into a character's head.
Yes.
And then you kind of have to like not become that character, but you kind of become that character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it can be hard to put that character down.
Exactly. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that I try really hard to write some good people so that I can get them in my head and get the bad guys out. They're usually a little bit flawed, but less flawed than my bad mm-hmm. guys.
Nice. Good. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into a head of a villain in a while, too. Probably because of all of COVID and everything. So maybe it's time to go evil again.
Right, there was enough darkness back then. Yeah, but yeah.
Exactly. So there was no bad guys. I didn't want to get into their heads. So right. I just had my guys fight them.
Right.
That works out nicely.
Do some monologuing, you know. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm the bad guy monologue. There you go. But, you know.
I love that. Those do crack me up.
Yeah. But it's
this
time,
is my
Jen.
Evil plan.
It's time. It's time, Jen. You need to write evil.
Write the evil people.
I'll try. I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
Just for you guys.
Well, thank you.
I'm happy to be part of this metamorphosis.
All right. So what's next for you, Shannon?
Well, finishing things. I'm going to finish the book that I'm working on now, which is I only have a couple of standalone books. So I'm going to finish mine. Then I'm going to finish the Through the Mist series. Then I'm going to finish book 10 in the Madison Meyer mystery series. Then I'm going to finish book 3 in the Lightbearer trilogy. And then I might go back and finish a YA thing that I started forever ago and haven't finished. Mm. Which it'll probably end up being a duology rather than a trilogy.
You're just two books done out.
Maybe I don't know.
Because the other five projects you have going on.
And I have new ideas popping into my head like every 5 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about Kindle Vella?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to do a Kindle Vella story with another lady told me that she started actually making money on Kindle Vella by doing like 2-page snippets of a story. 2 pages. And I'm thinking that seems kind of short,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but maybe it would work.
Right.
So I figured I would try that out with another old story that I wrote like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I wrote was 20 years ago. Right. It might be 18. I don't know.
But ideas do not go out of fashion.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
but I might try that, but it's probably going to have to be next year because I have a lot on my plate this year.
It sounds like it, yeah. And the year's wrapping up. I know.
It's insane. How did that happen?
Yeah, time is apparently linear. So
yeah.
Once again, it moved from A to B.
You know, they do say that time passes more quickly the older you get. And I'm starting to see that is absolutely true. Yeah,
totally not a fan.
Same.
Totally not a fan. So.
Yeah, I think Jen is way younger than you and me, though.
That's what we're going to put her down as.
I will be willing to bet.
Tops.
I'm going to be 50 next year.
You lie.
Seriously?
Why do you lie to us?
I
Clearly
don't.
You're not 50.
You do not sound like
it.
No.
Wow. I don't feel it.
Jen has a young
That's
soul.
Good.
Well,
yes,
Jen has
yes.
an old soul, but sounds young. Yeah.
I'm a contradiction of everything.
All
the
time.
That is I. Well, my husband is going to be 50 next year as well. So you will not be alone in the suffering.
Yeah, I did 50 this year and it was okay.
Did?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, congratulations.
Ago. Yeah. My
I just
dad
clapped
was like,
for you.
I'm surprised you made it. I'm like, thanks, Dad. Thanks a lot. Like I lived that recklessly in my life. So
All right, that's funny.
We're coming up on our time with Shannon, but I've got one more question for you.
What you got?
I want to know who you're reading right now. Who's exciting you in the world?
Okay, so I have, let's see, where's my words? It's J.L. Bryan. Is the author's name.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ghost story kind of series.
Mm-hmm.
The narrator is not great, but it's still kind of fun. And it's their paranormal mysteries.
Mm.
And I am really enjoying it. I just finished book one. And the second book is, I had to get it. And the rest is on the catalog for free books as well. So I am ecstatic about that.
Say the name again.
J.L. Bryan.
J.L. Bryan. All right.
Yeah. And the funny thing is the book's name is Ellie Jordan Ghost Trapper.
Oh,
it's like the worst nice. Possible name.
That's rough. Yeah. But
it's a great
like it
story. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It that's tells awesome. You tells you what you need to know. So
true.
I started reading Jade City and I'm not a big fan. So
Okay.
I have one more though.
One more. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. This lady's name is Angela Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished the audiobook. It's Anyone. I'm sorry. Anyone? There's a question mark.
Oh, there's
a
question. Like, I don't know. It's nice your book.
But this is a post-apocalypse YA book mm-hmm. that isn't zombies. It's been so long since I've read post-apocalypse that isn't zombies.
Yeah.
And nice. I got so excited about it.
But
like,
it is post-apoc. Is it post-apoc dystopian or just post-apoc?
Dystopian-ish.
Okay.
The main character is in a bomb shelter that her dad made in their backyard.
Oh, okay.
Nice. And then he goes to find her brother and the power goes out. So she has to get out of the bomb shelter and then, you know, her adventure begins.
Right, right. Hijinks ensue. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right, tell it. The name of that was Anyone. Anyone?
I gotta put this. It was Angela Scott.
Angela Scott. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
It is excellent. That is a absolute 5-star read.
Perfect. That's exactly what we want to hear. All right.
Hey.
Now, Shannon, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me at my desk.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. I thank you for that.
Writers, I tell you, we're all so funny.
Oh, so funny. I'm on Twitter pretty constantly.
Yep.
My name is Shannon Artwright, Artwrite.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Shannon Reber, Shannon Reber Sechrist, however you want to find me. I'm there both places. Instagram, I do TikTok. And you can find me at Genres Bookshop at the YWCA in Westfield, New York.
In Westfield, New York. And I've got to get out there. I've got to see your shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have to meet me.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That'll be fun.
We'll do it. When you sent out the email asking for writers to do stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, that would be so fantastic.
Wouldn't it? You have got to show up.
I've got to get out there and do something for you. So yeah, we will make that happen. So
good.
Well, it has happened once again. Jen, we have interviewed another author.
And it was a great interview at that.
So
oh
great.
My goodness. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Jen, closing thoughts?
It's getting colder, which means everyone, which means everybody should grab a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And read it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And a nice hot drink. Don't forget the hot drink.
Yes. Whether that's going to be wine or just tea, we're fine. You can join the cult.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with that, we'll close out.
Would you guys like to join my cult? I'm willing to take you in.
We're in. I think we're both in.
Hey!
Woo!
Yay! All right, my cult is growing.
Well, thank you, Shannon. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was lovely being chatted with you.
And
chatting with you. Wow.
Yes. And we will have you again.
Perfect. Talk to you guys later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.